Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Give you a little bit of background this morning. Not my background, but background about the gospel that you heard read. Just before this gospel, some Sadducees, and this is the first time in Mark's gospel, by the way, that Sadducees are mentioned. First time. Sadducees are the ruling party, so to speak, even though they're in a minority compared to the Pharisees. All the chief priests have been Sadducees. Most of the priests themselves are Sadducees. They're a lot different from the Pharisees. But like the Pharisees, they want to trap Jesus. So they come to him, and they're thinking they've got just the question for him. He's not going to be able to answer this, and we win. But that's not the case. But anyway, Sadducees are those who only follow the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Old Testament, of course. Everything else, the Psalms, the writings, it's interesting, but who cares? That's their attitude. So they follow the five books. They don't accept the oral traditions of the elders. They don't accept the law and the rules and the regulations that are so dear to the Pharisees. They don't believe in immortality, not of the soul. They don't believe in the resurrection of the body after death. They don't believe in spirits, like the Holy Spirit would be totally foreign to them and they would deny it. They don't believe in angels. If it's not mentioned in the first five books of the Bible, to them, it doesn't exist. The idea of resurrection is laughable as far as the Sadducees are concerned. Now, back then, most people believe that when you die, that's it. You go to Sheol. Now, Sheol is often equated with hell, but it's totally different. Sheol is a place of grayness, a place where you have no life to speak of. You can't talk to the living. You're far separated from God. It's a gray land beneath the world. Shadowy existence is all you've got to look forward to, as far as they were concerned, without strength, without life. To the Sadducees, simple wit and common sense reduce the idea of all these other things to a joke. That's why they don't believe in any of these things that the Pharisees believe in. The Pharisees believe in life after death. They believe in angels. They believe in the spirit. They believe in the immortality of the soul. Totally different from the Sadducees. So anyway, they come to Jesus with a question that they are sure is going to entrap him. It's about Indian individual resurrection. And they want to make it look ridiculous, as the joke it really is. Now back in Deuteronomy, one of the first five books of the Old Testament, there's something called levirate law or levirate marriage. And what that is let's say you've got a group of brothers who are living together. The oldest one gets married, has no children, and that's the duty of the next brother in line to marry the widow and try to produce children for his dead brother. And this would continue as long as there are brothers, if there are no children. So their idea is you've got seven brothers living together. The oldest brother marries. He dies without having produced children. So the next brother marries the widow. Then he dies without producing any children. And the third brother, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh. Now, the idea of not having children would be anathema to the Hebrews. You've got to have heirs, for one thing, to pass down the family name. For a second, to keep the property in the family, whatever property there happens to be. So that's why these brothers would have to keep marrying a widow. The family name has continued that way, and the property remains within the family. So now what the Sadducees are asking Jesus is a little bit of exaggerated. Seven brothers. That probably would never be the case. But they ask Jesus, if there is a resurrection, then whose wife is this woman? Which one of the seven gets her as wife? They all had her as wife. There were no children. So whose wife is she? They're figuring that they've got Jesus trapped. He's going to either have to answer on technical grounds, in other words, the first brother has her as wife after death, or Jesus is going to have to concede to the Sadducees, there is no such thing as a resurrection. But Jesus' answer falls in two parts. First, in what we call the manner of resurrection. He tells them that they're in error because they don't know the scriptures, nor do they know the power of God. Now, the Greek word for error that we use as error also really means to wander off track, to be led astray. So Jesus is telling them, you're way off track. You have been led astray. He tells them that when someone rises from the dead, the old laws of physical life no longer apply. Marrying and being married no longer enter into the case. The resurrected life is not a prolonged earthly existence. It's life in an entirely new dimension, an entirely new direction. Now, second, he deals with the fact of the resurrection. And here, I always enjoy this, because he meets the Sadducees on their own ground. They insist that there's no proof for resurrection in the Pentateuch. But Jesus draws his proof from the Pentateuch. In Exodus 3, verse 6, God, talking to Moses, calls himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He must be the God of living people, not of those who are dead. So on their own grounds, and with an argument they cannot refute, Jesus defeats the Sadducees. Now there's a couple things for you to consider here. First of all, in their question to Jesus, the Sadducees are obviously creating a heaven that's in the image of earth. A lot of people try to do that. Maybe not try, but they do it. I suspect that if I look back, I'll find that I've done it when I was younger. Heaven is going to be like earth. Remember, my idea of God was someone like my mom, but with a beard. And when she was older, and I told her that that was my image as a child, my image of God, she just stared at me. Well, you know, I was trying to give her my image as a child. Anyway, we've got these things to consider. The Sadducees have created heaven in the image of earth. And people always tend to create a heaven to suit themselves. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, takes from Isaiah, and he makes Isaiah's words his own. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, second, let's talk about relationships. Jesus knows that God has had relationships with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and with many others. And the relationship between God and a person cannot be broken. Nothing can break it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nada. God's friendship with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, didn't cease with their deaths. From Psalm 73, in the 23rd and 24th verses, the psalmist writes, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me by your counsel, and afterwards receive me with glory." God's word cannot be bound. God's word is love. As you heard Pastor Scott talking last week, God is love. So God's word can't be bound. It's not an epitaph of human limitations. Instead, it's a promise of divine potential for you and for me. And the ultimate answer to the Pharisees is the life of Jesus. The empty tomb verifies his teaching to the Sadducees. Jesus doesn't simply announce the resurrection. He is the resurrection for you and for me. Amen.